Good evening, everybody. Maribu Rabosai. Benzer Hashem. Benzer Hashem, this Mitzvah Shabbos, we will start saying Slichas. The Sfardim, the minig already was saying from Rosh Chodesh, and the minig of Ashkenazim is to start this Mitzvah Shabbos. Lemaise, I think we all know that this whole tumul is a serious business. The world is full of tragedy, and we are in a position now to do something about it. In English they say, a stitch in time saves nine. I think so, that's what mommy taught me. I don't know if I'm the one to really express the nekuda where we should be working. But one thing is for sure, that this is not a kinderspiel. This whole business is not a kinderspiel. It's serious business. Am Yisrael is a serious people. And Am Yisrael makes a big geschäft out of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And it's an ernste geschäft. It's a geschäft of life and death. Kipshutei mamash. Now, I would like to this evening, as I was invited to speak in this gathering of Shalhevis, I would like to this evening try to touch a nekuda, which I think is very essential in these holy days. But I would like to say an hakdama. My introduction will be as follows. Maybe what I'm going to say will be just the idea that I'm going to introduce will be a little revolutionary. Will be a shtikum apecha. Maybe for those who heard my themes in the past, I spoke about this in very many times. But one thing is for sure, that Rosh Hashanah is a time for Mapecha. Because the Rambam, in the midst of Tekiyas Shofar, and this is famous in Chazal, and the Rambam brings it down in the Halacha, that the theme of Tekiyas Shofar is Uru Yesheinu Mishnaschem. Wake up, you slumbers, you sleep from your dreams, from your sleeping. Now, the difference between someone who is sleeping or someone who's awake, for sure is a revolution. In other words, the halacha of the shofar and the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah is to come to a situation that after Rosh Hashanah, you're on a situation of awake in comparison to before Rosh Hashanah in a situation of asleep. So for sure, there has to be some kind of a turnover. Because if we go through our Yom Neroyim, and everyone here heard as going to hear in school and in gatherings as these, many drushes and many the divrei Torah and many suggestions, and we all have our sforim that we read. Now if we take this whole business like a feather that tickles our nose, excuse for the expression, it's just, you know, a little more lashon hara, less lashon hara. And this is baloney. We're not doing anything. The Torah is telling us to wake up. Now, the difference between sleeping and waking up is a revolution. it's supposed to be a revolution, everyone in his personal life, and a revolution in the gate to Am Yisrael. Now, we don't have a way to speak to Am Yisrael. But we know, as Jewish people know, that everything starts within. But this is first introduction. Because I was invited to speak tonight, and I probably prepared something, I have some kind of a theme, I imagine so. It's supposed to be. And I might use some kind of expressions that some of you will think, well, is he crazy? What does he want? What does he want? What does he want from us? So it could be I'm crazy. That's not the point. That's not the point. But for sure, there has to be a turnover. There has to be mapeche. Now, if I'm the person to decide and to point out in which point should be the mapecha, it could be, I don't know exactly what. But for sure, there has to be a mapecha. Every person in his life has to make a mapecha. So if I say something which is revolutionary, so I'm using this introduction to say, well, that's the atmosphere of these days. These days are days to make a revolution. The shofar is not a feather. The shofar is a bomb. The shofar moves the kisei hakovod. Now, I don't know physics, but what kind of a bomb do you need to move the earth? Koshken, to move the kisei hakovod. Our shofar moves the kisei hakovod. So obviously we need big guns over here. So I'm using this as an introduction. And whatever I'll say in the continuation, maybe the introduction is worth more than the continuation. In other words, everyone in their life has to try to make a mapeche, because that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Now, that's introduction number one. Now I want to come to my inyan. My inyan is as follows. The minhag of Ashkenazim to start from Slichis is as follows. We start from Mitzoy Shabbos. You want to start Mitzoy Shabbos. And our Slicha says, Mitzoy Menucha, Dam Dutchila, we start from Mitzoy Shabbos. But we want always there should be at least 4 days of Slichas. Why 4 days of Slichas? So if Rosh Hashanah comes out, if we could say Mitzoy Shabbos, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. So if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, so we start Matzah Shabbos. This year Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, so we start Matzah Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Monday or on a Tuesday, so then we start a week earlier, as everyone knows. But our theme is to say Slichas not less than 4 days. Why do we want to say Slichas 4 days? Because it says in the Torah, when the Torah describes the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, in all Moadim, in all Chagim and Moadim, it says, "V'hikravtem oilo," and you should sacrifice an oilo. And Rosh Hashanah says, "Va'asisem." So we say, "Va'asisem, asisem tasus atzmechem." I'm quoting the Shulchan Aruch, "Tasus atzmechem oilo lefona." Make yourself and sacrifice your own self as a korban oilo before Hashem. Now we know that since Rosh Hashanah is a halacha, the person should bring himself up as a korban. And we know that a korban cannot be a balmum. And since it cannot be a balmum, there is a halacha of bikur. And bikur means to check and to inspect every korban 4 days earlier, before you sacrifice it to Hashem, that it doesn't have a mum. So therefore, just like in the Beis HaMikdosh, when you made a korban, so you would check it 4 days earlier. The same is by us. When each and every Jew brings himself as an oila to Hashem, brings himself as a korban to Hashem, and sacrifices his own self to korban to Hashem, he doesn't want to bring himself as a korban a balmum with all his flaws and blemishes and all his averis. So he checks up in himself 3-4 days earlier, at least 4 days earlier, and we say sliches to make sure that we should be a pure and complete korban. That is the halacha of sliches as it brought down on Shulchan Aruch. And I'm sure that all of this is nothing new to anybody sitting here for sure. Now, again, this is very serious business. I think you all have to realize that there is a big difference on Divrei Torah, which reached the Shulchan Aruch, which mamish reached the Shulchan Aruch and becomes an essence in Am Yisrael. In other words, there is mamish a halacha, and there's a theme, and on this is based our whole meaning of sliches, that Rosh Hashanah we have to sacrifice ourselves a korban to Hashem. Now this we will rephrase, and this we call in our modern language Mesiras Nefesh. I think it's about time that they put the word Mesiras Nefesh into the Webster's dictionary. It's so famous in Borough Park and in Williamsburg and in Muncie and all over the United States. It's a very famous word today, Baruch Hashem, Mesiras Nefesh. Now here we have a halacha that Rosh Hashanah, every person is supposed to sacrifice himself to Hashem. And again, realize that this is very, very serious, because on this is built our whole meaning of sliches. And here I pose a question to the audience, and I ask, what does that mean in practical language, Mesiras Nefesh? What does that mean that Rosh Hashanah we have to make ourselves, sacrifice ourselves according to Hashem? And we know a sacrifice starts off with a shechita. In English it has a very, very funny tasty word, to slaughter. Every person has to shecht himself and has to sacrifice to Hashem. And this is the Shulchan Aruch. This is Shulchan Aruch, my dear people, this is Shulchan Aruch. This is not drushes. Now, in practically speaking, what does this mean? And how can we translate it in our life? And here I'd like to discuss, what does it mean, Mesiras Nefesh? What does Mesiras Nefesh mean, Bichlal? Now, today, when we talk about Mesiras Nefesh, it's very hard for us to define Mesiras Nefesh. Let me explain to you what I mean. When we talk about Mesiras Nefesh, we talk about examples of Mesiras Nefesh. For instance, a young lady that leaves her house at 9 o'clock and works hard till 2 o'clock in the morning, till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So her husband should sit and learn Torah. Now, this we call Mesiras Nefesh. If you ask me, I would say, in 60-70% of the young ladies who do such things, it's for sure Mesiras Nefesh. But it's only an example of Mesiras Nefesh, because it's not a definition of Mesiras Nefesh. For some people, it's Chaya Nefesh to get out of the house and of those squibbling little ones and to give them over to the babysitter and to go out for 2 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the morning. It's Chaya Nefesh. For some of us, it's Chaya Nefesh. Probably for most of us, it's Mesiras Nefesh. And I'm for sure, I'm not belittling everything that our generation does for Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. But again, it's not a definition of Mesiras Nefesh, it's just an example of Mesiras Nefesh. And many times, we do a lot of things, we find people who say, Er Abit Mesiras Nefesh, Zi Abit Mesiras Nefesh. She works till late at night. And she'll say, what kind of Mesiras Nefesh? This is my tiny, this is my beauty, this is, I love this, etc., etc. So we say, yeah, she doesn't realize because she's such a tzaddik, Mesiras Nefesh. This all, everything we say is true, and for sure it's Mesiras Nefesh. And I'm not going to the subject now, the examples of Mesiras Nefesh. But what is Mesiras Nefesh? Let us try to put some kind of a clout about Mesiras Nefesh so that we can apply the whole concept of Mesiras Nefesh to ourselves. And as I was introducing, because that is mamish the sugya of Rosh Hashanah. It's mamish the sugya of Rosh Hashanah. For sure it's the sugya of sliches, because the whole halacha of sliches is to prepare ourselves for that shechita. And it's not a joke. So let us try to define, practically speaking, what does it mean that we are Rosh Hashanah should take upon ourselves the whole concept of Mesiras Nefesh and bring ourselves a korban to Hashem? What does it mean, practically speaking? And obviously it's not easy, because as we look back, we see in past years, I don't know, I can't talk for anybody else, but look at everyone looks at himself. We're mysterious nevesh, as mysterious nevesh, medavin good, you understand, medavin b'slel besed, this is dark. So I would like to discuss, try to analyze, practically speaking, what is mysterious nevesh? And how we can practice this piece of korban on Rosh Hashanah so that we should try to get into the atmosphere of Rosh Hashanah. Now, what I would like to explain is as follows. I think we all realize that Hashem Yisbarach is machlif hazmanim, mishani itu machlif hazmanim. Generations change. What was simple once isn't simple today. And maybe some things that are simple today wasn't simple once. Probably. Now, really, I don't want to use numbers, but 90 or maybe 95, maybe 99, maybe 99.99, maybe. But big percentage of our Avodas Hashem and our pattern of life really is depending on the atmosphere that we live in. On the atmosphere we live in the sviva that we live in, the generation we live in. Let me bring you the marshal. You have today in the yeshiva. So I think you all know that there's a concept in the yeshiva called the masmid. And there's a concept in yeshiva called the batlin. A bocher is a masmid, a bocher is a batlin. Now, how do you describe a masmid? How do you describe a batlin? So we all have some kind of a concept. What makes the masmid for a masmid? What makes the batlin for a batlin? A Bisrael Salanter was a masmid. I always say over the story, the two great brothers, the Rebbe, Reb Shmelke, and the Hafloye, they were learning b'chavrusa. Today, our minig is that we have zdor, yeshivas have zdor, everyone has a seder, and even someone doesn't learn a yeshiva, he goes to shul at night, he learns his daf, he learns his seder, he learns till 11 o'clock, and he goes home. If you learn in the morning, you learn to 1 o'clock, etc. Generations back, there were a lot of people that didn't have zdor. They learned, 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 until you had to daven, you had to eat, you eat, but you learned. I always say with a story that I heard from someone, the Rebbe of Shmelke and his brother, the Pinchas Tafloye, would learn and learn and learn and learn until they just fall on their faces. So one time, the Tafloye, the Pinchas, went to get a sefer. He didn't come back. So Reb Shmelke goes and sees where he is, and he sees his, he fell on the floor, he was on his face sleeping. So he takes a look. He says like this. If he fell flat on his face, well, a person has to sleep, obviously. But if he had the time and the strength to pick up his arm and put it under his forehead, which means he didn't have to sleep that second, because Vahara, you had the time and the strength to pick up your hand. So while you're sleeping, didn't have to sleep. And lo and behold, he saw him falling, not on his face, his hand under his forehead. And he gives him a kick, and he says, my dear brother, if you sleep here, what do you do in the grave? And there was Dashlaf, Mastan, the caver. Now, Reb Shmelke was telling the Hafloye to Mustacha Batlin. You're not a masmid. Am I right? He said, you give him a kick. He says, what are you sleeping? Dashlafster. Now, I, as in my profession, I tell Bochim, who get up 9 o'clock or 10:30, I say, Vashlavste. So where's the comparison to why you're sleeping and why you're sleeping? The comparison is in what generation you live, what situation you live, what atmosphere you live. Today, a Bochim that gets up at 6:15 or 6:30, if he learns an hour before davening, or 2 hours before davening, he's a masmit. And the time of Reb Shmelke, of course, there weren't many masmitim like these two brothers, like we just say. But in those days, the whole concept of masmada was different. So if I will ask a bachur in yeshiva today, And I was telling this story. And I'll say, why don't you learn like that? For was lernst du nicht bewandt du faulst? Why don't you learn until you fall on your face? So you know what he'll say? He'll say, because that's the situation of our generation. In Hebrew, I don't know how to say it in English, but in Hebrew there's such a beautiful expression, they say, kacha ze, kacha. Lama kacha. So if you have the chutzpah to say, lama kacha, so he answers, a junior answers, he says, kacha kacha. That's where it goes in Hebrew. In English, I don't know, they're not intelligent enough to even invent such genius. But that's famous, kacha, that's the way it is. So why do you do like that? Because that's the mitzvahs. And really, really, that's the truth of the whole story. That's the truth of the whole story. What does it mean, b'chesed? There are people in this audience, and many people in this audience, that are analyzed as bali chesed. Bali chesed. In comparison to the stories that we hear of those bali chesed nishtetlach, that mamish went from house to house, they're not bali chesed. They do nothing. In comparison to our generation, they're real bali chesed, and they are bali chesed, because we live in our generation. In other words, 90%, maybe even more, of our avoida really is based on the avira, the atmosphere we live in. When we have a situation that there are big masmidim, so I could be a double masmid. When the situation there are all a lot of batlanim, so I learn, let's shower, I'm b'nechshena masmid. I want to tell you a little story to analyze exactly this point. I once was sitting by my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, who was the son of the Briskerov. My Briskerov Shishiva, the son of the Briskerov, and he told me such a story. He said once an American fellow came into him. He was a Rosh Hashiva, he had a lot of bochur. An American man came to him, and he wanted a shidduch for his daughter. Say this person about this bochur, he spoke shidduchim. And then he was just saying, he says, we, in our family, we don't want moisris. Does everyone here know what moisris means? In Hebrew they say motorot, extras. We don't want any lavish. We're not lavish people. Everything is just the bare necessities. We don't want moisris. That's what he said. He was hinting that he doesn't want to support, doesn't want to give money. That's what he said, hinting. But whatever the case is, he says, we in our family, we're against moisris. Only the bare basics. So Beshebet tells him, I'll tell you a story. There was once in Russia, they used to have these farm settlements in the Kfarim. So they were far away from town. And he'd live there, come out all by himself, because he had a minyan on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He used to go to travel to the big city of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he had children. He didn't want the children to grow up like who knows what, like poyedim. So he would bring, they had money, these people had money, they had farm settlements. They would bring a malamed, and he would teach the children to. One time they made a party. And those people in those settlements, they knew how to eat. They made a party that was a party. And at the end of the party, I'm describing it the way he described it to me. It's not my description. At the end of the party, they brought a kompot. It was a delicious kompot. So the Rebbe goes over to the little boy, and he says, Yankele, you remember that we once spoke about breaking your taiva? About breaking your rutsinus, your taiva? Now is the time. Now is the time. She says, yeah, Rebbe, by the second portion. On the second portion, I'll break my taiva. So the Bishabet said, I told that fellow, he says, listen. He says, for sure, I told like this. For sure, the first portion is hechrechis. It's necessity. And the second portion is moisturous. It's extra. The whole question is, where does the first portion stop, and where does the second portion start? That's the whole nice. And really, that's the whole milchama sachayim. That's the whole milchama sachayim. For sure, the first portion, like I told you, everything I described before, In other words, today in our generation, sit and learn 18 hours in Misles or 22 hours in Misles, like we heard great peoples. This is the first portion. This is the situation. This is necessity. The second portion, Moisris, I'm not a battling. The question is, where is the kacha? Where is the necessity? Where is the situation? That's the fact of life. And where is the nekuda which you could maneuver the facts of life? Now, Moreover Rabbeisai, I would like to explain to you, this is Mesiris Nefesh. This is the definition of Mesiris Nefesh in the practical way of talking. Let me explain to you what I mean. When we are in a situation, we're in a situation that we are not the biggest tzaddikim, but not because we do averus. But there's no melchome bichlam. There's no talk about it. That's the fact of life. The fact of life is that's how we live. And you move up. You move. Like I want to use Rabbi Shebez's words. From the first portion, and you make part of the first portion to the second portion. You move up the life pattern. This is Mesiris Nefesh. Because you're taking a piece out of life. This is Mesiris Nefesh. And obviously, it differs every person in his own life. But this is Mesiris Nefesh in the concept of the generation, and this is Mesiris Nefesh in every person. And again, I will today, this evening, Be'ezir Hashem, describe Nekudas points which I think we should give a move. And it's Mesiris Nefesh. But I suggest that the audience sitting here use my analyzation, even not dafka the way I am going to use it, but in all aspects of life. Now let me tell you something. For some people in our generation, to keep Shabbos is real Mesiris Nefesh. Imagine a person we call today Baal Tshuva. Now a month ago he was not religious. And he's 30 years old or 40 years old. By him, Shabbos was the day of a tiyul. That was the day that he rested. He went to the car. He went out with the family. That was the day that he lived. That was his lifestyle. That was the day he lived. Now, to live, would you imagine, for instance, let me bring you a mushroom. If I would tell any one of the ladies sitting here, if I were to tell one lady sitting here, take your refrigerator and get rid of it, to live without a refrigerator. That's Mesiris Nefesh, and I'm not joking. Everyone here is smiling. That's Mesiris Nefesh. It means to change your life pattern. Of course, after a month, it won't be Mesiris Nefesh anymore. For some people sitting here, to get rid of the microwave is Mesiris Nefesh. It's part of life. Imagine I have to start review my whole life. I have to come home and start cooking suppers and cost up lunch. It's a change of life. It's like a mountain. Try to imagine taking out the microwave for certain people. I don't happen to have a microwave in my house. For me, it's not Mesiris Nefesh. For some people here, take out the air conditioner is Mesiris Nefesh. It's Mesiris Nefesh. That's real Mesiris Nefesh according to everybody. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, there are certain situations that become pattern of life. And when these situations become pattern of life, they become part of life. They become part of life. And when they become part of life, to change these, this is Mesiris Nefesh. And there are many, many, and here I'm telling you, we have to know this. And be aware of this. There are many, many situations which we in modern generation are mamish, excuse me for the expression, a mamish, I don't want to use any expression, mamish, let's use Hebrew word, lo beseder. How do you say it in English? I don't know. Mamash lo beseder. Really lo beseder. And no one could do anything about it. You know why? Because that's it. I'll bring you an example. And my Rebbe Rabbeisai, please. I hope, I don't know the people here. I'm speaking to an intelligent audience. That's what I was told. I'm bringing a mashal, but this is not my issue. And I don't want to say 20 issues. I'll bring you a mashal. I live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm an American. I was born in Williamsburg. I went to Eretz Yisrael when I was 20 years old. And I'm in Eretz Yisrael over 30 years. I live in Eretz Yisrael. I visit America pretty often. Mrs. Gottlieb shall have it's fault. That's not my fault. But I live in Eretz Yisrael and I visit America. I never stood stuck in America because I live in America, but I visited America, but I live in Eretz Yisrael 30 years. My wife is an Israeli, all my children are Israelis, you know, the real stuff. And my in-laws are Israelis, and the kids are... So, you know, things, you know, your mind changed. I want to tell you just a little episode, and try to appreciate what I'm saying. I'm not trying to sting anybody. I'm not trying to give a shtach over here. I'm trying to just show you a situation, learn a pasugya. I happen to be, I'm just telling you, it's not part of the issue. I happen to be one Tisha B'Av here in New York. I happen to be one Tisha B'Av here in New York. And I davened in a shul, in a yeshiva. And I'm not going to mention what yeshiva it is, even though it's what shul it is, even though it's not Lashon Hara, because I think it's a situation that goes on in this country. But I'm just telling you a fact, a story. I davened, and I tell you the truth, it was a Gishmak of davening. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I don't know, I don't find such davening. And if the Ma'ariv, if the Kinnus and everything, I don't know why, I never noticed it, but this, I'm just telling you a story, something, my own impression. Again, you people can think I'm crazy, I'm just telling you a story. I walked out of the shul, and on the sidewalk was lined up 20, 30 young ladies waiting for their husbands. Just in front of me. And as Israel, I never saw that. Never saw that. Where I live, oy vavoy to that young lady that would stand in front when the people are going out. With a rabbi like myself. But that's not the point. If I would go over to one of these young ladies and say, why are you standing just where all the people going out? I mean, where's that person sneers? She would say, what's wrong? What's wrong? I mean, is there anything wrong? I don't know if there's anything wrong. It's just a situation. That's the way things are done in this country. I want to tell you another little story. I was sitting in the car in the front, and in the back. Now I want to explain, tell this, the boy said, please realize what I'm saying. I'm telling you a story of a young girl that I happen to know who she is. And I don't curse myself. I bless myself that my children, my daughter, should be tzaddikas and sneers like this girl. So I really mean it. So you know I really mean it. And she was sitting in the back with a friend. She must have been around 16. I was sitting in the front. We had to go to someplace. Not my family. And they had to pick up her brother. Her brother was a little boy with Langer Peolach. Learns here in America. A nice little boy of 11 years old. He goes into the car and she says, say hello to my friend. He says, hello. Anything wrong? I don't know. I can tell you one thing in Eretz Yisrael I never saw in my life. Because in Eretz Yisrael, 11-year-old little boy wouldn't go in such a car. And I'm not saying that Eretz Yisrael has better chinuch than America. Because you ladies over here in America, Yibbe Kamozchem be Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Tznius, and davening, and Yerushimayim, and everything. And you don't fall back. It's just, you know, over here, that's the way it is. It's just kachazit. I want to tell you, my business, my profession, is to go to seminars. I speak in seminars. You see, I have a big mouth, and I speak in seminars. I cannot describe to you, I speak in seminars in Israel, I speak in seminars in America. I can't, and for Fruma people, not for Friday, for Fruma people, I can't describe to you the difference in just the pattern of life. The way men and women sit around and socialize. Over here, Lu'umat, not in America. Not because is anything wrong. I don't know if there's anything wrong. Kachazu. That's the fact. I'm not going to talk about the country now. There's plenty to talk about. The country is a Chilul Hashem. That's true. That's treif. The way it's done in the country. But why are we in such a true situation? Because that's the atmosphere we live in. What is Mesiris Nefesh? That means Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh means situations that become part of everyday life to change. To change. That's Mesiris Nefesh. What I said now about Tznius is not my subject. I just brought out a mashal of Mesiris Nefesh. I'm in depression that I'm saying a shir here. I'm talking Tamir Chachamim. I want to say something. Just think, just analyze it pure intellectually. I'm not talking the Maisa. The whole situation in modern world, in Eretz Israel and America, the whole situation that you have today, thousands and thousands of real Erlecha Yiddish businessmen that sit with a young secretary every day and a masamatan of 8 hours a day. Young girls, was there ever such a thing by Am Yisrael? Could you do anything about it? Try to do something about it. Close shop. No banks, no offices, no finances, no. Everything will stop. But isn't that... Here you have a nekuda, you have an example. No one talks about it, no one thinks about it. No one talks about it, no one thinks about it. You have a person that has a shaykhis, he has Baruch Hashem, his wonderful wife and his wonderful children, and here's a strange girl that he knows for 8 years, and every day, you know, she brings him a glass of coffee and tells him all this phone calls. It's not stamina, this thing, you walk into the bank and, you know, you keep a distance. And I tell you, I don't know who's gonna listen to this tape. The day will come when we'll make that revolution. And there won't be such a situation. It's a disgrace to Am Yisrael. Who could even think about such a thing today? That's the way it is. Today in yeshivas they have that situation. In yeshivas, Rosh Yeshivas have that situation. That's the way it is. And that's why we look what we look like. So you people think that I'm crazy. What's he trying to do? He's trying to change the world. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm trying to explain to you what Mesiris Nefesh means. Mesiris Nefesh means that there are situations that we live in. That's life. That is life. And to change what is analyzed as Tzuras HaChaim, as life, that's Mesiris Nefesh. Now, I'm not able to change the world. I don't know if you're able to change the world. But let us at least have the concept of what Mesiris Nefesh means. And this is negir to each and every one of us in our life, and that's what Rosh Hashanah is for. Rosh Hashanah is not enough to talk a word less Lashon Hara, a word more Lashon Hara, which is wonderful. And I'm not trying to belittle our concepts of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is to find a way that a situation which is part of my life, and to move it up, to change life pattern. That's what Rosh Hashanah is for. Now I'm coming to my suggestion. This was all introduction and to analyze what does it mean, Mesiras Nefesh? That's what Mesiras Nefesh means. And I feel that the examples of Mesiras Nefesh aren't really Mesiras Nefesh. And the people tell us that Mesiras Nefesh is to close your mouth in a hard time. In a hard time to close your mouth. Let me tell you. When I'm out in the street, if I walk into a store and there's a nasty storekeeper or a nasty somebody and he opens his mouth and I know how to answer and I keep quiet, that's not real Mesiras Nefesh. You know what real Mesiras Nefesh is? Real Mesiras Nefesh is a daughter with her parents, a wife with her husband, a husband with his wife. You know why? Because when you talk about family, the concept of Kol HaChosim Piv, what the Vilnagoyen calls it, is a change of life pattern. I have no problem keeping quiet, but keeping quiet in family means that I'm a shmater. Because it's day in, day out. It's Birkat Tzarayim Ve'erev. That's Mesiras Nefesh. To change my status. That instead of being a big shot, let's not use adjectives. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's real Mesiras Nefesh. The Maisa is not Mesiras Nefesh. I could close my mouth, I have no problem. But if he thinks that I'm a dope, so it depends who he is. If he's close family, that's Mesiras Nefesh. That's Mesiras Nefesh because my whole look in life changes. That's Mesiras Nefesh. I didn't come to my point. I'm just bringing examples. And now I'm coming to my point. And my point is very simple. I want to tell you people, and I spoke about it elsewhere, and I think that there's something which if the time has come that we talk about it very earnestly. When I went to school, it was over 40 years ago. And over 40 years ago, the world was new. The world was new. Because Hashem Yisbarach saved the Jewish people by the Holocaust. And the Jewish people were becoming destroyed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleaned the Shetach and made the 6 million for Kedoshim, which is not our issue at this moment. And there was a new world being built. And there was a new world being built in America. In America. So when I went to elementary school, so I was taught in school, and I didn't go to I went to Yeshiva Torah V'das. I went to a cheder, Baruch Hashem, my father wrapped me in talis when I was 5 years old. I remember like today, I was wrapped in a talis, I was taken into cheder, and I was given candies. By the way, you know my Alephez Rebbe was? Very interesting, so it's not for the tape recorder. Rav Wolfson, the Moshe Wolfson was my Alephez Rebbe. That's why I'm worth something. But I was taught in school that you have to be a good American and a good Jew. That's what I was taught in school. Now, this is the atmosphere we live in. We live in an atmosphere, we live in a country, and it's not only a country. Today, the whole world is the palm of your hand. It's a situation that we live in. The whole world, whether it's in business or it's in style, or just plain intelligence. Every person today, if you think about it, you would have to gather 100 years ago. You know, Yanko Galinsky always says this story. The first, when the newspaper first arrived in the shtetl. That was, a newspaper, could you imagine? A newspaper. So a lady comes out, and in the morning she finds the paper, and she says to her neighbor, Malka, you heard, see what happened? A ship turned over. A ship was drowned, turned over. What happened was that she didn't know how to read, so she kept the hold of the newspaper upside down. So she saw the newspaper upside down, she saw a ship turned over. You understand? So this intelligentsia of that lady, so what does she know in her life? Today we live in a life that the situation of our life is that we know aus Versutzach auf der Welt. And we are good American Jews. Now, I don't want to be personal. There are a lot of different people here. But I could tell you 60, 70% or 80%.